This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 390, up 7.5. March corn, 398.5, up 4.75. May corn, 406.5, up 4.25. January soybeans, 1042.25, up 10.25. March soybeans, 1048.75, up 10.25. May soybeans, 1054.75, up 9.75. December wheat, 610.25, up 17. March wheat, 597.5, up 15.75. May wheat, 6.25, up 15.25. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Thursday afternoon. Technical buying at the Board of Trade was the prop to grain values today. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shale corn bids 5 to 8 cents higher at 357 to 381. All soybean bids gained 10 cents at 1007 to 1033. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shale corn bids up 5 cents at 362 to 384, while soybean bids were 8 to 13 higher at 1017 to 1052. In the southern part of the state, shale corn bids were up 5 to 6 cents at 364 to 386, soybean bids advanced 9 to 10 cents at 1022 to 1060, and wheat bids climbed 16 to 20 cents at 508 to 573. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 to 10 cents higher at 1044 to 1057. Basis ended steady to 5 cents lower, ranging from 2 to 15 over the January. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $4.21.50 to $4.31.50 per ton. That's up $1.40 to $2.40 per ton higher, with basis unchanged to $1 lower, ranging from 50 to 60 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 5 cents higher at 390 to 399, with basis steady range from 9 under to option the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids steady to 2 cents higher at 374 to 379, with basis 3 to 5 cents lower at 25 to 20 under the March. Soybeans were up 8 to 11 cents at 1050 to 1055, with basis mixed range from 8 to 13 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 401 to 403. These same elevators raised their soybean prices 7 to 9 cents, with quotations at 1082 to 1085. Soft red winter wheat sharply higher on Thursday, ranging from 598 to 608, while the Milo ended 5 cents higher at 454 to 459. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in that region for new crop corn range from 367 to 395. New crop soybean bids range from 968 to 983. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 380 up to 395, new crop soybean bids at 964 to 990, and in the southern part of the state on Thursday, new crop corn bids range from 356 up to 395, new crop soybean bids 954 to 988, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 546 to 572. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 162.40, down 7 cents. February live cattle, 162.60, down 25 cents. April live cattle, 162.10, down 80 cents. January feeder cattle, 228.60, down $3. March feeder cattle, 224.25, down $3. April feeder cattle, 224.10, down $3. December lean hogs, 87.55, up 27 cents. February lean hogs, 84.30, down 25 cents. April lean hogs, 85.70, down 65 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday, the 11th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.72 lower in the range of $78.50 to $84.25, with a weighted average carcass price of $81.94. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds are 51 to 58, 4 to 5 weights 53 to 61, 5 to 6 weights 55 to 63, and 600 pounds and up 56 to 65. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $53 up to $60. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 13,244 head. And now moving over to the Greenville Livestock Auction, they had receipts of 793 head. Starting with the choice steers, they were 159 to 168. Choice Slaughter Holstein steers, 145 to 155. Choice Slaughter heifers were 159.50 to 170. They also had a pretty good run of feeder cattle. Feeder steers, medium and large ones, 5 weights were 221 to 230, and 6 weights were 220 to 231. Holstein steers, large threes, 4 weights were 202 to 230. And feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 weights were 220 to 231, 5 weights were 206 to 226, and 6 weights were 190 to $2. Now moving on to Schuyler Livestock Auction, they had receipts of 620 head for a special feeder cattle sale. Feeder steers, medium and large, ones and twos, 5 weights were 255 to 281, 6 weights were 230 to 256. Feeder heifers, medium and large, ones and twos, 5 weights were 240 to 271, and 6 weights were 230 to 237. Now in the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 323 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $90.93. That was $1.36 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses, $247.79. That was $2.16 lower, with select carcasses at $235.94. That was 43 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 110,000. That compared to 110,000 last week and 114,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 428,000. That compared to 427,000 last week and 437,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The EPA vows to get its annual issuance of renewable fuels targets back on schedule, but an agency official could not give lawmakers any date for getting the 2014, 2015, or 2016 done next year. With the renewable fuel standard still up in the air, the industry is facing quite a bit of uncertainty. I spoke with Vice President of Industry Relations for the Renewable Fuels Association, Robert White, about his organization's thoughts on the RFS situation.
The renewable fuel standard was passed in 2005, expanded in 2007, and really was there to help ethanol and biodiesel and all renewable fuels have a fair shot at the marketplace. We're putting our product through the oil industry's infrastructure, and that obviously is a challenge because they would just as soon it be their product versus ours. And so the renewable fuel standard was working very well, and actually last year was probably its most successful year. But this year, actually last fall, almost a year ago to the date, EPA proposed reducing the amount for 2014. Now, still don't know what that amount is. But it really boils down to, are they going to allow the renewable fuel standard to work as proposed, and that's create infrastructure, allow more ethanol and other renewable fuels into our fuel supply, or are they going to cave and let ExxonMobil, BP, Shell, Chevron, etc. control our renewable fuel standard? and we are anxiously awaiting that result, but we think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. So after the administration took all this effort to try and appease one of the groups at least, they're going to meet somewhere in the middle and make everyone upset. And the excuse is really more important than the number. We've been saying that for months, trying to get everyone in the administration and obviously the EPA to understand that. The statute says one thing. You're trying to use demand as an excuse or lack thereof for your logic in reducing the overall number. What's ultimately going to happen is there's going to be lawsuits from the oil companies. There's going to be lawsuits from the environmental folks. There's going to be lawsuits from, obviously, the ethanol industry if the number doesn't remain at the statutory levels and there's not clear reasoning that makes sense.
Now let's talk about that demand issue. There was talk that there was a blend wall that had been hit.
Yeah, the blend wall boils down to an artificial barrier, essentially, when all stations, all engines are using 10% ethanol. We have E15 now approved for 2001 and newer vehicles. We have E85 that can be used in the 17 million flex fuel vehicles that have been around since 1999. The blend wall is what the oil companies have done at retail. They don't own any of the stations anymore. So when you see one of the major oil refiners' flags out front, they control the supply options, they control what fuels they can offer, but still have no ownership. It's like the ultimate business model. You control all the decisions, but you get all the profit and have no liability. So we're continuing to work through things like the Petroleum Marketing Practices Act. It simply says if you want to offer alternative fuels, you can't stop it with a franchise agreement. That still happens today. The FTC is currently investigating some of those allegations. Senator Grassley and Senators Klobuchar have been pushing that issue very hard. But until there's a fair fight, until the subsidies are removed from petroleum that were removed from ethanol back in 2011, it's not a free market. And everyone needs to understand that. That's why it's important to something like the Renewable Fuel Standard to push that.
White also addressed the food versus fuel debate.
Food versus fuel has been around since 1980, basically, when the ethanol industry started to get a foothold. At one point, ethanol consumed 40% of the corn crop. But what no one wanted to talk about beyond that stat was that a third of every bushel that goes into ethanol production comes back out in the form of food called distiller's grains. So you have distiller's grains, you have ethanol, you have carbon dioxide, you have gluten, you have all these other options. Only thing that ethanol uses from the corn kernel is the starch. And you can look around this room, including my waistline, and see we have plenty of starch in this country. So it's not something that we need. It's not robbing food out of starving babies' mouths in Africa or anywhere else for that matter. The hunger rates since the passage of the RFS globally are actually down. One thing that profitable agriculture does is lures more people into agriculture. So some of these developing countries that had to rely on our food products are actually growing their own now. And that's progress. But what the biggest key point right now is we saw $7.58 corn last year. We have $1.80 corn in some parts of the country, more than half the price or half the production cost. So farmers are at 47% the cost of production, and yet none of the products we supposedly drove the price up of last year have changed. Meat's still high. Corn chips are still high. All the food products that corn ethanol and in turn corn was blamed for raising the price of hasn't retreated at all. At some point, even the most staunch anti-folks out there have to realize that there's no merit, there's no correlation, that all the food prices predominantly are geared towards energy prices. Now, energy prices have started to slide. We hope that food finally makes its move, but it's really hard to justify the food versus fuel debate, especially with everything we've seen in the last few months.
Along with fuels, with E15, I hear that that is becoming much more popular, that more vehicle manufacturers are making sure that they have E15 vehicles.
Yeah, we actually just got done combing through all the owner's manuals for 2015 model year, and 70% of all new vehicles sold in the United States endorse and warranty the use of E15. So this is something that it took 6 years when E10 was introduced to get the first one, and now we have 70% already in year three. It's pretty phenomenal. I will report to your listeners that Chrysler is not one of them. So that has been a thorn in our side, and we continue to harass Chrysler. Why has Honda, Hyundai, Kia, and other foreign manufacturers beat Chrysler to the table, and we hope that's resolved this year. But just imagine if you had Chrysler folded in there, it would almost be everybody. So E15 is progressing quickly. It's available in 12 states. We have literally hundreds of stations in the works right now. There'll be a lot of them in new states, well outside the Corn Belt, proving once again that if the retailer can have not only volume but margin on that additional volume, they'll sell maple syrup if they think it'll turn a profit. So E15 is going to be another option, and we're seeing E85 move right with it.
And what are your hopes for both the near future and the far future?
Well, we hope that the EPA gets back on track and basically puts the RVOs and the RFS on the statutory path that it was originally passed in 05 and expanded in 07, and that there's some continued look into the practices of the major petroleum companies at retail to allow those independent mom-and-pop stations to make the decisions that they need to survive. Every year we see gas stations disappear because we're using less fuel. We have more fuel-efficient cars, and we want those that want to make the beat entrepreneurs, want to offer those renewable fuels, have a fair shot at it.
Again, that was Vice President of Industry Relations for the Renewable Fuels Association, Robert White. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.